I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome. If you missed the first hour, you know the whole show is a podcast after 4 o'clock on the iHeart app. John Cobell Show on demand. We're on live from 1 to 4 on the radio. And if you want to follow us on social media, it's at John Cobell Radio. We are going to talk now with in just a minute, Blake Trolley. I saw this the video on news last night, and I saw more of it today, and it's about this, I don't know, it took a while to build these makeshift homes along the 110 freeway in Highland Park, right by the Arroyo Seco River, that channeled river, and why did it suddenly burst as a story now? The neighbors are upset, but it must have taken a little while to build this thing. And I guess some people took all the discarded lumber and supplies that they could find, or maybe they stole it, and they turned it into some pretty fair-looking homes. I mean, they're dilapidated, but, you know, at first glance, it's like, well, that looks like a house. Well, let's get Blake Trolley on to see what's going on here.
Yeah, John, I had the same question that you had. Exactly where did these materials come from to build these homes, especially the home that's really kind of taking center stage here with these news headlines? I heard you commenting on why has this not been a story, and I think part of that could be that this home is a little bit off the beaten path. There's a bike path across the way, but the home is about, I don't know, 200 or 300 feet up and across the river. So, you know, it's really... not too many people are just going to pass it on their everyday commute.
Right. And from a distance, it looks like a normal house. And it's got a front door and electricity, and he's got lights. And I guess, you know, it would fool the average person that it's not a place that would be zoned for a home, though.
No, absolutely not. So if you think about the Arroyo Seco Wash, where these homes are situated, there's a few of these structures. I counted 5. Now, again, the one that's most complete, this is the one that's getting headlines. It and these other structures sit up on a wall. So if you think you've got the river down in the kind of at the base of this wash, then you have the concrete to the sides. Then like any other wash, there's like a 10-foot concrete wall. And these homes are perched up on that wall, and each of them have ladders coming down so that people can kind of climb up from the wash up onto the ledge where they have these homes. To Fox 11's credit, they were the only outlet that was able to actually get inside this home. They interviewed the guy that that built it. His name's Alejandro Diaz. He moved here from Guatemala. He says he's lived there for 2 years. And they actually got inside the home, and video from inside showed the guy had a bed, a TV. He had a toilet. He's got a garden in the back. I saw a garden on one of the other properties today. I spoke to another couple of people that live in the area, a homeless guy. He lives in somebody's garage, but I think he hangs out around this encampment. And he said, yeah, this guy took his time building this thing, and his timeline was about a year and a half.
First, it started with pallets, if I'm not mistaken. And then little by little, he started adding more to it and then painted it. And then now I believe there's a roof on it.
So I had asked that guy, how did everybody end up down here? Because there are quite a few of these makeshift homes like we talked about. And he said a lot of people were living up in the parks in the Highland Park area, but they kept getting shoot around the parks. So they all ended up down in the Wash, and apparently nobody's bugging them down there.
I saw one report, I think, on Channel 7, and the neighbors who live in real homes and have to pay taxes, they're upset. Are these homeless people, are they a nuisance, noisy? Is there, you know, drugs and criminals hanging about? Do we know about their behavior?
So you got to think of where I did these interviews. I did these interviews in Highland Park, and every person I spoke to was using the bike path that was near this. And the general sentiment that I got was, well, you know, they're just trying to survive. That said, I did get some, I guess you could say, interesting
responses.
Interesting testimony, if you will. And we can go to some of this. One of the guys I talked to was from Glendale. The very first person I talked to was from Glendale, but he was walking in the air. Take a listen. Say you live in Glendale. How long do you think a house like this would last in city limits of Glendale as opposed to LA?
10 minutes. 10 minutes tops. Yeah. The as soon as you hit that zip code, it's a lot different police presence, like almost immediately.
And then we'll go to this jogger. And this guy was buff, by the way. And I think that's kind of what he's hinting at with this joke he kind of makes at the end.
I think it speaks to the cost of everything. And if you look underneath the surface, there's enough money in this country to prevent all of this.
Yeah. Now, what about your sense of safety? Do you still feel safe walking here, jogging here every day?
I feel safe. Yeah. But would I recommend anyone to walk through here? No.
Now, one of the safety issues that I see with this, John, is just the fact that to access these properties, they have to cross over that river. That water's moving really fast. It's one of those pieces of water that it doesn't look like it's moving fast until you actually see objects inside of it. This morning, I saw what looked like a storage bin just flying down the river. And then I saw a car bumper, and it looked like a canoe. I mean, it was just flying down the river. And so for people to access these, there's some video that's been posted of people jumping over the river. I saw two people jumping over the river today. So there is a real danger here to just people crossing over.
And then in the summertime, the Wash dwindles to nothing.
Yeah, it's a lot easier in the summer. But, you know, even today, I don't know what caused this, but it seemed like the river, when I was walking down, the sidewalk I was on didn't have any water on it. So the water level was low enough that it wasn't getting up on the walkway. On my way back, and this is when I saw that barrel coming down and that car bumper coming down.
Well, the thing is,
water was up on the sidewalk.
I was just talking to somebody the other day who's doing construction and how, you know, they have to apply for a permit. And then if you don't get a permit, then the city can come and tear down all your whole construction project, right? And then you have this guy builds his own home and nobody shows up to say, hey, stop. I mean, how come legal people have to abide by all these rules and pay permit fees and get everything officially approved of? And this guy is hanging over a river. And if he's willing to do this, all this work to build it, why doesn't he go get a real job? See, everybody's saying, oh, well, he's just trying to survive. There's full-time work he could be having building real homes. I don't understand. There's like two sets of rules for everybody in the world.
You build your gate, you know, 2 inches too high, and the code inspection comes out to your house. Yeah, and I know the city did put out a statement saying they're trying to house everybody, and they did say that this is not a safe structure, and they're trying to deal with it. But yeah, John, I could understand where there would be some homeowners upset about this.
He's stealing the electricity, isn't he?
Well, one of the reports showed that he was tapped into a power pole.
Yeah, he's stealing it
to get his power.
Sure, the rest of us are paying record high electricity rates, and this guy's getting it for free. And everybody goes, "Wow, that looks kind of nice, that house. Wow, you know, I guess he's just trying to make it."
You know what I saw, John? You know, one of the first stories I covered at KFI was the opening of the tiny home village in Highland Park, also up against the 110. It's on the other side of the freeway. It's interesting to see a tiny home village popped out, you know, popping up near where there already is one. And I spoke with that same guy who gave me the timeline of this, the build process of this, said he has been offered to live in that tiny home village, or the city has offered him a spot in that tiny home village before, but he hasn't accepted it. And he kind of has this contradicting statement here. Take a listen.
I feel that the city should do more to help the homeless. I mean, granted, they have the tiny homes, but there's so many strict rules and riffraff that you have to follow there, and you know, just the invasion of privacy. They have the right to go through your things at any time, and you know, I think that's honestly why a lot of people are out here. That's why I'm out here. So
are you homeless living out here?
Not out here, but I'm living in a buddy's garage. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. And you're saying the tiny homes just wouldn't work because what, too many rules?
Too many rules, a lot of negative influences for me personally.
What does that mean?
Yeah, the big privacy thing is what it is, you know.
Did you ever have an opportunity to live in the... I mean, I know I was here when they did the whole press conference and everything when these sprouted up, this tiny home village. Eric Garcetti was down here. Did they offer you a stay in there?
I've been offered a few times, yeah, but...
Stay at this one right here, right?
Yes, yes.
So there you have it. He's denying housing, but he's hanging out at the pop-up.
Yeah, I know.
Tiny housing.
His privacy issues is they don't... you're not allowed to use drugs in these shelter situations. And those are the rules. There's a curfew. You can't drink. You can't use drugs. And the code is, oh, you don't have any privacy. Yeah, right. That they do have rules. Otherwise, you'll have dozens of drug addicts all in one location, and eventually you'll have mayhem from it. All right. Well, thanks very much, Blake.
All right, John.
All right. Blake Trolley, KFI News. We got $1,000 we're going to give away in minutes.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
I'm still stewing over that Blake Trolley story because you got several people. They're building their own homes alongside the 110 freeway in Highland Park, which is Los Angeles. And nothing's being done. The homes were built. You find out one guy who's built the most... extensive home is supposedly moved here from Guatemala legally. Did he go through the proper immigration process? And he comes here and he can build a home out of scrap materials. Well, then why can't he go get a job? This is what I don't understand. All these people are along the river there. They're building their own homes. Go get jobs. Don't whine about the homelessness that you're suffering from. I heard one of the TV anchors introduce the story by saying, they've created their homes. This is what less fortunate people do. Hey, less fortunate. Not less fortunate. He just doesn't want to go to work every day and take that responsibility. That's not less fortunate. That's evading responsibility.
Seems fortunate enough to have the skills to build a house.
I wonder how much of that stuff he stole. He's definitely stealing the electricity. People look at stuff, they don't see what's wrong with it anymore. It's like, oh, wow, that's a really well-built house. And look, he's got lights and everything, and you go inside and he's got a refrigerator. Where'd he get this? He doesn't work for a living. All right. After 2:30, we're going to talk with Michael Gates. He's been on with us many times. He's a city attorney at Huntington Beach. And that city passed a law which requires a valid state ID to be presented before you vote. And this is considered some kind of heinous crime by the state of California. The Attorney General, Rob Bonta, and the Secretary of State, Shirley Weber, both of them said the state is going to sue Huntington Beach for requiring people to show ID. What is with this ID story? Why is this controversial? Why is this... Just don't understand anything. All right. Let's have a few laughs. You got the Biden clips ready? Okay. Hard to know where to start here. I want to start with cut 4. This is Joe Biden making an appearance yesterday telling reporters a story about his uncle maybe getting eaten by cannibals. Really? Cut four.
We called him Uncle Bosey. He was shot down. He was an Army Air Corps before there was an Air Force. He flew single-engine planes, reconnaissance flights over New Guinea. He had volunteered because someone couldn't make it. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals in New Guinea at the time. They never recovered his body, but the government went back when I went down there and they checked and found parts of the plane and the like.
Now, if you could follow that, he said he had an uncle, Uncle Bosey. And during World War II, he got shot down in New Guinea and that the natives there ate him. I mean, he didn't exactly say specifically ate him, but they were cannibals and his body was never found. So strongly implied. Yeah, he got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals at the time. They never recovered his body. And they checked and found some parts of the plane. So he's saying Uncle Bosey was dinner. Well, that wasn't true. And today, the White House press secretary, that empty can, Corinne Jean-Pierre, was forced to admit that he died when the plane crashed and that he was not eaten. Choking on this story. He was not eaten by cannibals. You imagine that? Jean-Pierre said, you saw the president. He was incredibly proud of his uncle's service in uniform. You saw him at the war memorial. He was incredibly emotional, and it was important to him. And then he tells the same story in Pittsburgh to the steelworkers. Play that.
And my uncle, they called him Ambrose Brosey, they called him Bosey. My uncle Bosey was a hell of an athlete, they tell me, when he was a kid. And he became an Army Air Corps before the Air Force came along. He flew those single-engine planes as reconnaissance over war zones. And he got shot down in New Guinea. And they never found the body because there used to be a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea.
He was a little more explicit there. He got shot down over New Guinea, and they never found the body because there used to be a lot of cannibals there. All right? That's a little more definitive. And same story. Same day. And then today the White House goes, no, Uncle Bosey was not eaten by cannibals. Where does he get these from? Well, it's his addled Alzheimer's mind.
It's like the Amtrak story.
He's lived an interesting life. He must have real stories that he could tell people. Why does he make up fake stories? And they always involve people who would have been dead at the time of the story or who have since died, and I guess he figures it can't be contradicted. And does he know he's making these up, or does he think they really happened? Does he think Uncle Bosey actually was consumed at a dinner party by the New Guinea cannibals? Here's one more. You know, Israel is going to invade Rafah soon. That's the big city in southern Gaza. And Biden does not want Israel to do that. And here's his instructions.
And I made it clear to Israelis, don't move on Haifa. It's just not, I mean, anyway, I just, look what we did recently when Israel was attacked.
Haifa. Haifa is a major city in Israel, is it not?
Yeah, my family lives there, actually.
There you go. So Biden is telling Netanyahu, don't invade your family's city, Haifa.
I'd hope they don't invade Haifa.
Yeah. If Biden was in charge, he might invade Haifa. He had the military in the wrong direction there. No, it's Rafah. There you go. That's all in one day. 5 more years, huh? Want to see Joe running the country in 2029?
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic, and then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
the podcast
would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We might have heard during Ashley's news that we had a Steve Gregory report on OJ and how much money he has left and where he got his money from, the that weasel lawyer of his, the Michael, Malcolm Laverney. Huh? Is he a snake or what? Anyway, you may not have heard, but OJ is no more officially. He's been cremated. So they sent him to the oven, and he is now dust. Ashes and dust. Doesn't exist in any form anymore. But let's get and I'm not going to have OJ to kick around anymore. 30 years worth of material about him. Okay, let's get, what do we have on next? I forgot. Michael Gates. That's right. Michael Gates, who is the city attorney in Huntington Beach. Let's get him on immediately before he grows old waiting.
Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm fine. Now, in Huntington Beach, you guys passed this heinous law. And I think every American is offended that you got to have you have to show ID to vote.
Yeah. So
you guys are a bunch of communists. You realize that.
Yeah, it's I know it's a pretty extreme concept, but it is actually a popular one, in spite of what some of the state level officials are saying. Just to give you a little bit of background, so Huntington Beach put on the ballot just this past March a proposal that basically it was an elections integrity package. So it had three components. One is that you have to vote, show voter ID. In municipal elections, another that the city would be required to basically facilitate 20 additional in-person polling locations so that there'd be more availability for in-person voting. And then the third is the monitoring of ballot drop boxes. And the whole package was presented by the city council to the voters, basically, as the city council put it, to basically build confidence in our election system. And the voters on March 5th overwhelmingly passed that proposal. So the voters now have basically updated the city charter to put these three elections integrity requirements into the charter. So now it's the law of the land in Huntington Beach that we have this in voter integrity,
you know,
measures.
I have never gotten, I've never understood the controversy from people who oppose voter ID. And the debate is so obvious. It sounds so cliched, but we show our ID for all sorts of trivial things in life. And there's a lot of people who lack confidence in the voting system on all sides. So why not ask for voter ID? I would never be offended by that. I don't know anybody who would be offended by that. What is the issue here?
Well, there's this false narrative being peddled by, again, state-level officials, Attorney General Rob Bonta, that they're claiming that it disenfranchises voters.
Ooh.
But the thing is, well, I guess they're trying to suggest Well, they're trying to suggest minority voters, but there's zero empirical data to support that. Zero, absolutely zero empirical data.
Well, you remember the Georgia situation, right? A few years ago, they passed a voter ID law. And Joe Biden said this was Jim Crow 2.0, and the Major League Baseball pulled out the All-Star game, and this was supposed to be the most heinous civil rights violation in United States history. And they did a poll, and 0% of black voters felt that they were disenfranchised. Literally 0%. The polling company couldn't find one black person in the state of Georgia to complain about this, and black voter participation went up in the next election. This is the most fake controversy in American history.
You're right, and the data supports the opposite argument. The data is what you just said, that if there's election integrity measures, the voter turnout, voter participation actually goes up. The thing is, what the city is taking exception to the state's threats and the state lawsuit that was just filed by the Attorney General Rob Bonta against the city of Huntington Beach, because the state is basically claiming that these measures in Huntington Beach now, the ones adopted and approved by the voters, violate state law. And that's simply not the case. Huntington Beach is a charter city. And as a charter city, the California Constitution specifically provides in Article 11, Section 5, for elections to be a matter of local control. It's right in there in the Constitution. So for the state to claim that what Huntington Beach is doing illegal, Huntington Beach is doing is illegal, and that they're going to take us to court and, I guess, reprimand us. They're wrong. They're categorically wrong, and there's no amount of state legislation like the one proposed by David Minn to make voter ID illegal by cities. No amount of legislation can take away a charter city's constitutional rights. The state legislature can't rewrite the California Constitution.
City charters are legal. And a lot of the disputes you've had with the state over the years has been about your rights as a charter city to act as the city sees fit, and that they're not bound by some state regulations. And this clearly should be one of them, that the local control has always been a major provision of election law. Like the federal government can't control state elections. I mean, that's been the problem that's been highlighted, by the 2020 election, right? Is that right. Obviously states had their own version of how an election could be run.
Right. And the state has been way more aggressive in the past decade or so in attacking local control, local authority. And basically the state wants every city in the state to be run as the state sees fit. I mean, they basically want to commandeer all local control, take it for themselves, and to dictate what local officials can do. And at the end of the day, I mean, cities need to wake up and realize if they're not going to stand up and do what Huntington Beach is doing, then they're going to get steamrolled, and they're going to be doing the bidding of the state. And then what's the point of city councils? I mean, why do we have local deliberative bodies making decisions for local jurisdictions if the state's going to try to call all the shots?
They don't want local cities to have control. They don't want city councils. They don't want mayors. This is a central planning Soviet style philosophy that they have. That's not a surprise.
And I can tell. And we had a press conference today, and I made a few remarks along with the mayor and a couple other council members. Huntington Beach doesn't take any of this lightly. We're serious about fighting legal battles. We're serious about fighting the state. We're not intimidated. We're not going to give up. They are, poking the wrong bear, because we literally, frankly, almost enjoy being in court fighting for our rights and trying to beat back the state, no matter what the outcome, because
it's just an issue. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, we're doing it for the people. I mean, what the state doesn't, I mean, I don't even think the state appreciates the dynamic. The voters approved these measures in the primary. So when the state sues Huntington Beach now for the approved ballot measure, they're now basically suing the voters. I mean, this is beyond city council discretion at this point. City council doesn't have discretion to say, well, okay, the state's mad at us, they're suing us, so let's pull this back. Nope. This is the law of the land in Huntington Beach by virtue of the will of the voters. Period. Full stop. So when the state comes down to Huntington Beach and is going to try to fight this in court, they're basically taking on the people, the will of the people of Huntington Beach. And so I have a duty, an obligation to defend the city, to defend the folks, to defend the law, to defend our charter. And so we're going to fight this vigorously. Like, just like I said in the press conference, we're going to fight and fight and fight. And, you know, the mayor put out a call to other cities. You other cities need to start standing up and fighting too, because if more cities fought back, the state might soon realize they can't be bullying every city in the state of California. Yeah. It's 482 cities, and they're all being bullied at this point by the state of California.
Well, I'm glad, Michael, that you and Huntington Beach stand up to the bullies. Thank you very much for coming on.
I'm glad you have us on, and you can help expose and cover this. It's really important. Thank you so much.
Anytime. Michael Gates, city attorney in Huntington Beach. When we come back, it's... You can tell it's election season. There's actually Democrats in Sacramento who want to lower your electricity bill all of a sudden. How high must electricity be for the Democrats to want to lower it? We'll talk.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
This is a really big day because it was announced that the referendum that will greatly revise Prop 47 is very likely to make the ballot. They have over 900,000 signatures. They needed 546,000. They got 900,000. And that is way over the mark. And that should put it on the fast track. Now, you know, all the signatures have to be verified, but they have a huge cushion there. It's really important because you know how the shenanigans at these county registrar offices led to, well, in L.A. County, suspiciously, Mike Bondin almost got recalled, but just missed. And George Gascon almost got recalled, but just missed. And the backers of this proposition took that cue, and they went into overdrive. It was very well funded. I also have to read to you the coverage by the Los Angeles Times. Okay, this is huge here. Prop 47 has been the scourge of our life for 10 years. And there's going to be huge interest. And there's already huge support for it. But the LA Times downplayed the story and tried to poke holes in the idea that this would ever pass. We'll explain. They're not even featuring it very much on their website. It's already buried. You have to go hunting for it. Everything costs way too much in California, and almost all of it is self-inflicted by the governor, Gavin Newsom, and the Democratic legislature. They have created an economic system here that is just awful. We have the highest unemployment rate in the country. We have the highest gas prices in the country. We even have the greatest fast food price increase in the country. California fast food prices have risen by 7%. In 6 months. And this is ahead of the April 1st minimum wage increase. April 1st, the $20 minimum wage kicked in for fast food. Leading up to April 1st, you had a 7% increase in fast food prices in the previous 6 months. Higher than any other state in the nation. Nationally, fast food prices went up 4.5%. In California, it was about 70% higher. And full service restaurants prices went up by over 3% in the last 6 months. In fact, California had four of the nation's top 10 places in terms of overall price hikes. If you just broke up the country by area codes, we had four of the top 10, including number 7, Riverside County, area code 951. Food prices were up 8% at fast food restaurants. And then let's see what's going to happen now that they added a $20 minimum wage. All this stuff hurts middle income and poor people a whole lot more. Did I mention the electric bill increase? That's what I was going to do. There's a new fixed monthly fee that's supposed to be adopted by the California Public Utilities Commission in May. $24 fixed monthly increase to all customers. If you're with PG&E, Southern California Edison, or San Diego Gas and Electric, those of you that get your electricity from LADWP are not going to be affected by it. Not LADWP, but everybody else, you will. $24 fixed monthly fee. It gets complicated, but it Sacramento woke up. Of course, you know, they allowed the fee, and now they realized election year, people are pissed about prices, pissed about inflation. So Jackie Irwin, a Democrat from Thousand Oaks, wants to fight skyrocketing electricity rates. Let me tell you, their whole global warming war has led to the skyrocketing electricity rates. Solar and wind energy has been really expensive. All the extra taxes on energy companies has been really expensive. We have by far the highest electricity rates in the nation, 70% higher than the national average. And then they added another $24 monthly fee. Well, now Jackie Irwin tries to play the heroine role. Our constituents have had enough, and so have we. It's time to put reasoning back into how we charge for electricity. Really? You know what's happened for electricity prices over the last 10 years? PG&E rates increased by 127%. Southern California Edison, 91%. San Diego Gas and Electric, 72%. This new $24 fee would be double the national average for a fixed electricity bill charge. Double the national average. All right, when we come back, big, big day. The California group that has is pushing a major rewrite of Prop 47 says it has 900,000 signatures. We'll talk about that when we return. We've got Ashley Johnson live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.